I don't think I have to work very hard to convince you that we're living in very strange times. I don't even know how to express. It's the understatement of the evening, of the century. Yeah. We're living in very confusing times. We're living in very strange times. We're living in very conflicted times. And I was trying to figure out how to begin the topic that we're going to explore tonight. Are we the greatest generation? Are we the worst generation? Are things getting better? Are things constantly getting worse? How do we make sense of the crazy world in which we're living? And I couldn't think of a better Mari Makum than to quote from a book that I actually never read, but I knew the first line. And when I looked up the line, I was actually pleasantly surprised to read the whole line, maybe for the first time in my life. And that's from the book by Charles Dickens from 1859, A Tale of Two Cities. And I think it captures the feeling as well as any of the other sources. I know I'm standing in front of an Aron Kodesh. I debated whether it's appropriate to lead off a shir with a quote from a secular book. But it's not a secular book. It's secular only in terms of how you choose to read it. Charles Dickens begins, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom, it was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief, it was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light, it was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope, it was the winter of despair. We had everything before us, we had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven, we were all going direct the other way." See the sensitivity of how he wrote in 1859. And you have to wonder exactly where are we? Or are we this? A time of tremendous hope, a time of tremendous despair, a time of tremendous light, of giluyim, of new revelations in Torah, and a time where maybe harder than ever to be an observant Jew? Easier than ever to be an observant Jew? The best of times, the worst of times? We should be hopeful. We're all going to go to a good place. We're all going to not such a good place because of our many sins. It's hard to know exactly where we are. To say the question differently, are we moving farther and farther away from Har Sinai? That would be bad. Or could we say that we're moving closer and closer and closer to Mashiach, which would be good? Two stories to highlight this. And I know there's stories that I've shared, but I couldn't not share them in this context. One is the story of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was once traveling. He was on a train. He was on a plane. I don't know the exact details. And one of his grandchildren was with him. And the non-Jewish fellow who was sitting next to Rav Yaakov was so captivated. He couldn't understand the respect, the awe, the care and concern that Rav Yaakov's grandson had for his grandfather. And the fellow at one point, when Rav Yaakov's grandson had gotten up to get something for his grandfather, turned to Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and said, "I don't get it. How do you have such a relationship with your grandchild? How do you have such a relationship with your grandchild? My grandkids look at me as I'm old, I'm outdated, I'm old-fashioned. My grandkids look at, last year's cell phone is already outdated. So I'm a thing of the past. I'm a relic of the past. How did your grandchild have such respect for you?" So Rav Yaakov apparently answered, Rav Yaakov said, "Well, there's a basic difference in how you see the world and how I see the world. Meaning if you buy into the approach of evolution, so that means with each passing generation we evolve and we become more refined and more human and less monkey-like, which means your grandkids look at you as being closer to monkeys than they are. So of course they think they're better than you. But as a Jew, the greatest moment in our lives was Kabbalah Satorah, Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. And therefore, my grandchildren look at me as being two generations closer to Kabbalah Satorah, to that moment when God encountered humanity and gave the Torah to the Jewish people." So in a certain sense, it's a story of Yerida Sadoros. As Jews who see Kabbalah Satorah as that awesome moment, with each passing generation, we're farther and farther and farther away from that time when we were zochah to have that face-to-face encounter with the Kodesh Baruch. That's one way to look at it. The other way I said you could look at it, of course, is to see yourself as moving closer and closer and closer to Mashiach. And this is for sure a story that I've shared with some of you, but if you haven't heard the story, for the one person maybe who hasn't heard it, or a few people haven't heard it, it's kedai to repeat it. The Choz of Lublin, when he passed away, the great seer of Lublin, when he passed away, his Yerusha was divided up amongst the children. One of the children of the Choz of Lublin was Rav Yosela Turchiner. And Rav Yosela Turchiner was zochah to get many of the objects of his father, many of the physical possessions of his father. And he was traveling one time, with some of his own Hasidim, and he came to an inn, and they were a little short on cash, and they wanted to stay the night, and the innkeeper said, I see you have lots of stuff with you, I'm willing to make a trade. If you give me some items from your caravan, I'll let you stay the night. So, amongst the various items that were given to the innkeeper in exchange for a night's stay at the inn, was the clock that had belonged to the Chos of Lublin. Several years later, one of the Talmidim of the Chos of Lublin was traveling in that same area of the world. A tzaddik known as Rabbi Sacher Dov Ber of Radishutz, the Saba Kedisha of Radishutz, and he came to the same inn with his Hasidim. And the innkeeper was very honored to have a distinguished guest, and he gave him the best room, and he split up the Hasidim amongst the rooms. And it was getting late at night, and everyone retired to their rooms. And the innkeeper's room happened to be right beneath where the Saba Kedisha of Radishutz was staying. And he hears the holy tzaddik in the room above walking back and forth. So he figures, okay, the Rebbe maybe has, you know, a whole long Kriya Shema or whatever he does. Maybe he says, I don't know, a section of Tehillim before he goes. Whatever it is, he figures eventually he'll, you know, settle down. It's midnight, it's 1 o'clock, it's 1:30, it's 2 o'clock. He hears the whole night back and forth. He's pacing back and forth in the room. 3 in the morning, the innkeeper can't sleep a wink either. Finally, the morning comes. And very sheepishly, he goes upstairs, he knocks on the door. And he says to the Saba of Kedisha of Radishutz, he says, Rebbe, I can't help but ask, but I heard you all night pacing back and forth in the room. He says, why didn't you sleep? What was on your mind? So he says, why didn't I sleep? That's the question I want to ask you. And he says, that clock on the wall, where did you get that clock on the wall? The clock in my room, where did you get that clock? So he's thinking, and he says, oh, that clock, there was a Jew who traveled here a while back. He didn't have money, so he paid me. He gave me this clock. He said that it belonged to his father. He said, what did the Jew look like? Tell me about that Jew. What do you remember about that Jew? He started to describe. He saw Yasla Torchina, right? The picture came clear. Of course, I know that clock. He says, that's my Rebbe's clock. That's the Chos of Lublin's clock. So he said to the innkeeper, he said, a clock, by definition, is a sad instrument. Clocks are very depressing. Because every time a clock, a good old-fashioned clock where you hear it ticking and talking, every time the clock chimes or ticks or talks, it's announcing, it's more or less declaring, it's announcing another second of your life has gone by, another hour has gone by, another day has gone by. A clock is, so to speak, counting down the time until a person returns their soul to their creator. He says, but by my Rebbe's clock, whenever I went to the Chos of Lublin, I always heard something different. When I was in the court, when I was in the Hasidic court of my Rebbe, the Chos of Lublin, the Chos of Lublin's clock was the happiest clock I ever heard in my life. He said, with every tick and every tock of the clock, it was pronouncing, it was declaring, we're a second closer to Mashiach, we're a second closer to Mashiach, we're a second closer to Mashiach. So Yasla Terchiner, the Saba Kedisha of Radishutz said to the innkeeper, so you want to know how I couldn't sleep last night? Could you fall asleep in a room where the clock is announcing every second, you're a moment closer to Mashiach, you're a moment closer to Mashiach, you're a moment closer to Mashiach? So we have two tracks of how we look at reality. On the one hand, we're farther and farther away from our Sinai. We're farther and farther away from a Beis HaMikdash, from the Tzaddikim, from the Avos. We're moving into the modern world with all of its frightening things. And on the other hand, every second, every step is literally a step closer to Mashiach. And I guess the question is, which way are we moving more? Are we moving more away from our Sinai? Or are we moving more towards the Geula Shleima? So let's look at the Parsha. You have to always connect to the Parsha. Let's look to the Parsha and maybe get some insight from Chazal. Eliezer goes out to find a wife for Yitzchak. He comes to the well. He does a series of tests. He identifies Rivka. Comes back to Beis Bethuel, Beis Lavan. And all of a sudden, they invite him for lunch. And he says, I can't eat anything until I tell you my story. And he starts with this whole long recap, 15 psukim, where he goes over the whole thing. He starts telling the history of Avraham, and he tells about Avraham's success, and how Avraham sent me on this mission, and I came to the well, and I tested the girl, and then I met you. Mamash, he reviews the whole story. And Chazal are troubled. Chazal are bothered. In the Midrashim, why does Eliezer have to, like, review everything? Why does the Torah have to tell us? Not every conversation ever had is printed in the Torah. Why does the Torah, so to speak, obviously speaking somewhat facetiously, why does the Torah waste 15 psukim on reviewing everything that we know already? Why do we need to have this conversation in the Torah? And Rashi quotes the Medrash in source number 2, this week's Parsha, and perhaps some understand it as one of the sharpest expressions of Yerida Sadoros. one of the strongest declarations that with each passing generation, things are getting worse. Says Rashi in source number 2, Amr Bi'acha, you want to know why the Torah spent so much time on Eliezer, recapping the whole story? We don't even have, there's so many things that could be in the Torah. If we have extra 15 psukim, so maybe, I don't know, put the 39 malachos in the Torah, Shabbos. Put Sefer Chafetz Chaim, put all the laws of Lashon Hara in the Torah. I mean, these are things that have like half a pasuk. There's a lot of important things that are barely spelled out in the Torah. There's plenty of room, and the Mishnah describes it. These are things, these are principles of Jewish law that are like mountains hanging by hair threads. That's how Chazal referred to some of the biggest principles in the Torah. So if we've got some extra words to spare, so to speak, so give me a little more insight at some of the gufei halachos, the principles of Jewish living. Not Eliezer recapping the whole story. Says Rabbi Acha, from here we learn, Yafa sichasen shel avdei avos, lifnei amako mitorasen shel banim. Hashem loves the conversations of Eliezer, Eved Avram. Even more so, the Eved of the Avos and the mundane conversations, his mundane, his regular speech, his regular conversations, are more valuable, so to speak, than Torah and Shalbam. Which means Hashem would rather watch, so to speak, Eliezer and Avram shoot the breeze, if they could imagine such a thing, right? Than to watch us sitting in the Beis Medrash, in front of a Gemara actually trying to learn Gemara, Rashi, Tosos. Yafa sichas on a mundane conversation of the servants of the Avos is more precious than our Torah. How does that make us feel? Sharei parsha shel Eliezer kafula b'Torah. That the parsha of Eliezer is repeated twice in the Torah. And there are other principles which Hashem gave to Klal Yisrael when Hashem transmitted the Torah to us, where Hashem like glosses over. Hashem doesn't really even want to talk to us about it. Because Hashem favors the earlier generations. Because there's something very special about the earlier generations. So Chazal are clearly telling us that there was something that happened in the past that is just, it's just better. So is everything better in the past? You know, sometimes you hear people talk, you know, everything, the good old days, everything used to be better. Was everything really that much better? I had a student who came to my office the other week. He was talking to me about some of the struggles he faces, life in the modern world. A college student who's trying to also learn Torah and juggling a lot of things and dating and getting a job and a summer internship. And all the temptations of the world today, and all the Yetzer Haras that we face in our world today. And he said, you know, to be like a frum person today, it's so difficult, it's so hard. And he said, as opposed to like back in Europe. So I was like, whoa, time out a second. Now people do this like back in Europe thing, right? We imagine that Europe was like this big base medrash. Prior to World War II, everyone was frum. And everyone was a Talmud Chacham. And there was no temptations. First of all, back in Europe, there was a Holocaust. Second of all, back in Europe, there were plenty of people who didn't know the first thing about Torah. And there was all sorts of isms, communism and socialism, and all sorts of haskalah. There were plenty of things that were trying to create spiritual temptations for even a person who was fortunate enough in that time period to go to the Beis Medrash. So this notion where we like paint this rosy picture of our past, like everything used to be so simple, and now we have so many nisyonos and so many struggles, it's simply not true. The wisest of men told it to us in Koheles. Shlomo HaMelech says, you think the olden days, what, there were no threats to Jewish ideals and values and philosophies? Koheles says in the third source, in Parak Zion, Al Tomar, don't be foolish to say, Mehaya, what was it? What was the secret? What was it in the olden days? Shayamim harishonim hayutovim me'ela. Everything used to be great. The good old days were so good. Ki lo mechachma sha'alta zeh. Because if you're asking that, you got to study a little more history. It's not a wise way to explore life. Things used to be so good. But Chazal are telling us that. And I said it myself to a couple weeks ago when I was standing here talking to my grandfather, Alav Shalom, my grandpa Joe, and I was reflecting on there is something when you see a person from an earlier generation that you feel that they've got something that you don't have. It's like that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky story. There is something about earlier times being closer to our Sinai, even with their problems and our problems. And Chazal are telling us, Yafasi Chasson Shal Avdei Avos. Hashem would rather listen to Eliezer talk about regular things than sit and learn Bechavrusa with us. And there are many, many Mamari Chazal that seem to be. Let's learn the Mishnah that talks about the transmission of Torah. Let's see, are things getting better? Are things getting worse? Or is it status quo? The opening of Pirkei Avos, of course, describes the Kabbalah of the Torah. Moshe kibal Torah, Mi Sinai, in source number 4. Ubasara the Yoshua, Moshe passes it on to Yoshua. Yoshua is a Kanim. Who's a Kanim? The Nevi'im. Unevi'im Masrula Anshiknes Sagadola, the transmission of Torah. And then the Anshiknes Sagadola made three proclamations: be deliberate in judgment, having Masunim Bedin, Hamidu Talmidim Harbe, have a lot of students, Vasu Syag Latorah, make a fence to protect the Torah. The Maharal, in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, and many, many others throughout the generations, have noticed that there are two words that describe transmission of Torah in this Mishnah. Moshe Kibel, Torah Misinai, right? And then Umesar Al Yoshua, two different Sharashim, Kuf Beis Lamed and Mem Samach Resh. What's the difference? And notice the points where Kibel is used, and notice the places where the Mesorah is being transmitted. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Moshe was Kibel the Torah from Hashem on Har Sinai. And then Masara al Yoshua. Yoshua to Zekanim, doesn't tell us Kibel or Masrua. Zekanim and Nevi'im. Then Nevi'im Masrua again, Lanchik Nesis HaGadola. And then the bulk of Pirkei Avos, the continuation of Pirkei Avos is what? Hillel v'Shamai Kiblu. Right? Shmai Vav Tablon Kiblu. Everyone's going to be Makabel, Kabel, Kabel after that. It's all Kabbalah. It's not Masrua anymore. What's going on? The Tosfos Yom Tov, in his awesome commentary on the Mishnah, which he wrote in the early 1600s, spent about 3 years, about a 35-year-old man, a 35-year-old young man, wrote a magnificent commentary, the Tosfos Yom Tov on Mishnayos. Tosfos Yom Tov writes, he says, I'll crack the code, and it's similar to what many others say as well. The Tosfos Yom Tov says, Umasara Yoshua in source number 5, Shekol Mashekibel Masar Yoshua. Whenever you see Masar, transmitting Mem Samach Reish, that means what? Giving the whole thing over. The entire Mesorah. So Moshe gave Yeshua everything. And Yeshua was a great Talmud. Yeshua was a very capable Talmud. The Pasuk says about Yeshua, Lo Yamish Mitocha Olal. He never left Moshe Rabbeinu's side. His defining characteristic is Lo Yamish. He never left. He sat by Moshe's side. Moshe is compared, say Chazal, to the sun. And Yeshua is the moon reflecting the light of Moshe Rabbeinu. One of my students once pointed out to me, Lo Yamish is Gematria Yoshua. That's who he was. Lo Yamish. Never left a second. Didn't miss one shir. Never came late. Never missed a word. So he was Mekabel. He got the whole thing from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, Masruha, not Mekabel, Masruha Al Yoshua. Moshe was able to give the entire Mesorah to Yoshua. What about Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai? What's the difference between Kibel and Mem Samach Resh? Moshe lo yachol lo mar shenimser alo, says the Tosfos Yom Tov, but Moshe wasn't able to what? To be the recipient of the Mesorah. He couldn't be nimser alo Moshe. Why? Because what we're learning is that what? Mem Samach Resh means giving over the whole thing. Kuf Beis Lamed means being makabel, accepting whatever it is you can. However big your kli is, however open you are to receive, that's how much you'll be able to absorb. So when Moshe Rabbeinu is getting the Torah from God, he can't take everything. The Torah is infinite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. Moshe is kibel the Torah and according to his ability. And he got a lot. Let's not fool ourselves. Kilo nimsa lo kol haTorah, says the Tosfos Yom Tov in the second line of source 5. Sharei shar hachamishim lo nimsa lo. The 50th level of understanding Moshe could not receive. There are things that were beyond Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't understand everything, as the Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. But whatever he could be makabel, Kibel klomar, says the Tosfos Yom Tov, kol mashayu roi lo lekabel kibel misinai. Whatever he could grasp, he took. Moshe was also a great student, but he's dealing with an infinite God, so there's only so much he could take. Yoshua, on the other hand, was able to, so to speak, keep up with his Rebbe. And therefore, misara li Yoshua. Yoshua took everything. Says the Tosfos Yom Tov, Yoshua gave everything over to the Zakenim. The Zakenim gave everything over to the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im gave everything over to Anshik Nes HaGadola. U'Nevi'im Masaruha la'Anshik Nes HaGadola. However, says the Tosfos Yom Tov, words bolded. Lomar, she'af al pi shelo kol haknesia hayu Nevi'im. Even though the Anshik Nes HaGadola were not all prophets, but they were good students. And they were able to what? To receive everything. Nimsur lahem ha'Torah kula, k'moshe nimsur la'hakodmim lahem. They were able to get the entire Mesorah, the entire Jewish tradition. Aval mikan ve'elech. What's the tragedy that begins right after the first Mishnah, Pirkei Avos? Kibel, 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 kibel. With each generation, we're losing and losing and losing more and more Torah. We're trying to make a kli, we're trying to make a vessel to catch whatever we can, but so much is spilling over and getting lost along the way. Now, I'll just mention, as we get about a month away from Hanukkah now. There is a bracha. There's an element of bracha. Just in parentheses for a second. There is an element of bracha in that. An ironic bracha. The Yevanim wanted us to forget the Torah, and by causing us to forget the Torah, there was an explosion of Torah during that time period. That Tkufa Vayasheni is Dafku when Torah Sheval Peh was emerging. So if not for the Yevanim, the Rambam says, if not for Shichachas Torah, the Rambam writes in his introduction to the Mishnah, if we don't forget Torah, then the corpus of Torah is very limited. There's no Machlokas, there's no Abaye Barava, there's no Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, where there's nothing to fight about in the base Medrash, which means, I guess, you know, those who learn Daf Yom, we get an extra 45 minutes a day, right? To do something else. Because we know the Halacha, there's no Machlokas. So through the Shichachas Torah, Rafutna writes about this, and many people write about it, many tzaddikim wrote about this, in an ironic way, by causing us to forget the Torah, by causing a lack of clarity in Torah, there's more need to discuss Torah and to create Torah, to be mechadish Torah. Okay? But that's not a lechatchila. That was a tragedy. The fact that we were losing Torah, and now we have a range of opinions, which gives us more things to learn and more books to fill our shelves, is not necessarily a lechatchila thing. And that was the tragedy. After the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, says the Tosfos Yom Tov, in the second to last line of Source 5, from the time that Shekhnes HaGadol and Nismatu Adoros, and Lo Nimsura Kula, we couldn't take everything. Avakiba Kol Echad Lefi Kocha. Everyone got according to whatever they could hold on to. So there is a Yerida Sadoros, and it's built in, it's built into the very fabric of transmission of Torah. It's a tragedy, but that's just the way it is. So how do we look at ourselves today? How do we feel about ourselves today? We're a generation that just gets worse and worse and worse and worse with each passing generation. We're just worse Jews. And we have to accept that perspective in a certain degree. And the more we try to deny that perspective, the worse we actually end up looking. The more we pretend to keep step with the earlier generations, the more Chazal tells us you need to be put in your place. What am I referring to? The Gemara in Masechah Shabbos. The Gemara in Masechah Shabbos in source number 6 says, Amr Bizera Amr Rava Bar Zimuna. Im Rishonim B'nei Malachim. If the earlier generations were angelic, which in our eyes they were, then anu b'nei anashim. And compared to them, then we're humans, regular humans. They were angels. They were amazing people. Right? We're regular people, human beings. They were superhuman, they were angels, we're humans. V'im rishonim b'nei anashim. And if we see them as only being humans, then anu kechamorim. Then we're animals, then we're donkeys. And in case you're getting all excited because you once read a Gemara about a donkey that new halacha, like the donkey of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa or Pinchas ben Yair, says the Gemara, don't fool yourself. Lo kechamoros Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Velo shel Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. El kashar chamor. We're just a plain old donkey. Just a plain old donkey. So if you think that the earlier generations were really great, which they were, then Hashem says, then with that proper place, knowing your place, makir es makomo, it's one of the ways we acquire Torah, knowing one's place, recognizing one's place in the world. If we know where we're holding, then Hashem says, okay, you can still be human. But if you think they're regular, and you're going to keep up, Hashem says, I'm going to show you what a chamor you are. Chamor means chumrius. I'm going to show you how physical you are, how animalistic you are. Right? How much you're not able to keep up with the earlier generations. Yeah?
I understand if I believe, I hear what you're saying, that we cannot, potentially, we cannot absorb, because we are not, so we lost.
Right? Some say there's more learning, there's more, in terms of quality, we're not what we used to be. In terms of quantity, maybe we're better than ever. Okay, so I still got 20 minutes.
Okay.
Still part two of this year. This is just the setup. This is just part one. Okay, don't worry, the Britisher is coming. The Britisher is coming to 10. Okay, so again, we have, you have to be honest though, right? The Mamar Chazal is Mamar Chazal. Pirkei Avos is telling us that kibel, kibel, kibel. We're not masru anymore. We're not giving over the whole thing anymore. Our kids know less than we knew, and we know less than our parents knew and our grandparents knew. Again, I'm not just talking about the clear. There's something less Jewish about us than the earlier generation. There's a Yerida Sadoros. There's a gravitational, spiritual pull that's pulling us downwards. I think I once mentioned that's the reason they asked the question of Rav Pinchas Koritzer, one of the early Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, asked the question. You know, we come every year, Rosh Hashanah time, to blow the shofar. And we practice for a whole month leading up to Rosh Hashanah. And then what do? We stop blowing the shofar. We stop blowing the shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah to trick the Satan. Right? To confuse the Satan. So Pinchas Koritzer always had creative questions. And the Imre Pinchas, or Pinchas Choritzer, said, so I don't understand. Like, how dumb is the Satan that he falls for it year after year after year after year? Like, how does he not catch on already? That Jews, on every Erev Rosh Hashanah, we do this whole fake-out thing. We stop blowing shofar. And then the next day, we blow out 100 blasts 2 days in a row. He can't figure this out. He can't catch on. So Pinchas Koritzer said an answer, which you can say is cute, but it's not cute. It's very deep. But Pinchas Koritzer said, it's because the Satan from last year is not the same as the Satan from this year. The Satan changes from year to year. The Yetzer Hara, the Satan, changes from one year to the next. The new challenges of every generation seemingly are more and more and more and more. Right? So by definition, that means we're going to end up doing worse things than the earlier generations. We have access to more averas, to more temptations, to more foreign ideas that creep in so much easier in our global world today, in our international economy and world, the way we communicate. We could be anywhere and everywhere in 2 seconds. It's a terrifying thought for ourselves, for our children, for our communities. It's a gravitational pull that's dragging us down. The Chafetz Chaim's son once said, he let out a sigh. He said about the Chafetz Chaim, he said, my father once let out a sigh. And the Chafetz Chaim said, listen, the Chafetz Chaim's quoted, I saw this, and the son of the Chafetz Chaim. He said, my father let out a sigh, and my father said to his son, he said, listen, he said, you're colder than I am. You're a colder Jew than I am. And he says, and your children are going to be even colder than you. And their children are going to be even colder. The Baal Shem Tov used to give people a bracha, you should be a warm Jew. A warm Jew means a Jew is alive. Chavetz Chaim said, I'm not so warm. And my son, you're colder than me. And your children are going to be colder than you. And their children are going to be colder yet. And the Chavetz Chaim said with a sigh, he said, how far is the cooling going to go? A Malik, the creeris of a Malik, the coolness of a Malik. The coldness, right? The apathy, the lack of interest. Right? There's a part of us that feels we're getting farther and farther away. But the question that has to drive us is a very simple one. So then how are we charged with bringing Mashiach? That to me is the strongest proof of anything we're going to say tonight. Because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't bring Mashiach, and Avraham Avinu didn't bring Mashiach, and the Baal Shem Tov and the Nagon didn't bring Mashiach, and the Tanaim and Amoraim didn't bring Mashiach, right? And all the tzaddikim throughout the generation didn't bring Mashiach. So if we're getting colder and colder and colder, and the Chafetz Chaim says, just how far will this cooling go? It's a good question, but there has to be a different way to look at it. So now we get to part two. Says Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, these next couple of Mayim HaKomos can literally save your spiritual life. Maybe right now, or certainly one day. Rav Tzadok writes in the Preet Tzadok in Parshas Vayechi in the name of the Rebbe Rabbunim of Pershischa. Shemati b'shem harav HaKadosh mi Pershischa. Now you can push back. You don't have to take this at face value just because the Tzadok says it. We just learned some very strong Mamari Chazal. We need to understand what this means. The words are very powerful, but you could say he's just trying to, you know, encourage us, but it's simply not true. Ani mamin that it is true, and we're going to try to explain it. Rav Simcha Bunur of Pershischa said, "Sha'af shanafashos miskatnim b'chol dor." Even though the souls of each passing generation get lower and lower and lower, we don't have the neshama of Rav Moshe Feinstein. We don't have the neshamas of whatever. I could throw out tzaddikim all night. We're not like the earlier generations. I can never say a parak of Tehillim like my wife's grandmother would say a parak of Tehillim. I don't think I'll ever be able to do that. With that depth of sincerity, my neshama is not there. So on the one hand, afshan afashos miskatan in b'chol dor, our neshamos, in terms of, again, in a certain sense, our neshama, there's a yiridas hadaros. It's true, the nefashos are smaller. However, mikol makom sedr v'simcha bunu v'pershischa, ha'nekuda shebelev nitaher b'chol dor v'dor yosef. But the innermost point of the heart becomes more and more refined with each passing generation. There's something internally that's growing stronger and pure and brighter with each passing generation. I was trying to think, what does this mean? It's beautiful. And I want it to be true. We all want it to be true. We all want to believe that, even if on the outside we're not as good as those from previous Doros, but on the inside there's something burning inside of us. There's a light that's just glowing or emerging from within that's going to bring the Geula. We have to believe that. There's a mitzvah to believe Mashiach's going to come, and we're going to do it. But what does that mean? So I thought a simple mashal to compare it to is a diamond. How is a diamond formed? How is a diamond formed? A lot of people think that coal turns into diamonds. Usually not. How are most diamonds formed? Diamonds are formed under unbelievable pressure, unbelievably intense heat, 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit, in deep, dark caverns buried beneath the earth. tremendous heat, tremendous pressure. Often it's a volcanic eruption that brings some of those diamonds from the depths of the earth up to the surface. And yet when you hold that diamond in your hand, it's one of the most beautiful things. It's hard to understand, but the attraction of a diamond, the beauty of a diamond. So how could it be that such a beautiful thing comes from such a dark and hot and pressurized environment? How does such a beautiful, delicate crystal emerge from such an environment? But I think that's each and every one of us. The most precious neshamos, soul somehow gets pure and pure, says Rav Simcha Buna, in every generation. We're living in a time of unprecedented pressure. We're living in a time of unprecedented heat, it's hotter than ever. It's ours flaring up like never before. And yet somehow, out of that pressure and that heat and that darkness, somehow, in some crazy way, a beautiful diamond is going to emerge. And I really believe that's what the Simcha Buna is describing here. There's something internally. You meet Jews today, sometimes on the surface, they're not necessarily particularly observant. But they have the Pintaliyad. The Pintaliyad, the Nekuda Shebalev, the Pintaliyad, exactly. That innermost point, which the Tzaddikim described throughout the generations as the essence of my connection to Hashem. That innermost desire to do anything for Hashem, even prepared to die al Kiddush Hashem. As Rav Chaim Volozhiner wrote in Pirkei Avos, as the Baal HaTanya wrote in the 18th chapter of Tanya, as the Berditcher or the Kiddush Levi wrote in Parshas Yisro, where does it come from that a Jew who barely keeps Torah and Mitzvos, not only will, God forbid, have his life taken by a murderous Russia against his will, dying al Kiddush Hashem, that's also dying, of course that's called dying al Kiddush Hashem, right? But a Jew's willingness, I'd rather die for my Judaism than convert to a different religion, where does that come from? You're not so firm, you don't practice anything. Where does that deep love come from? There's an Nekuda Shebalev, and with each passing generation, on the surface we might get a little bit crustier, on the surface we might be a little bit less refined, but on the inside, that Nekuda Shebalev gets more and more pure. Let's try to understand that a little bit deeper. Writes Rav Tzadok in Parshas Kisavo in the Pri Tzadik. Shamati Mirabeinu HaKadosh in source number 8, I heard from my Rebbe, the Ishbitzer Rebbe. Shebidor Yasum Hazeh, in this orphan generation, we don't know how to learn, we don't know how to concentrate, we don't know how to daven. Right? We do averas in a single day that our great grandparents didn't do in a lifetime. Kishayesh Belev Eiza Ha'ara Amitas, but said the Ishbitzer Rebbe, when a Jewish heart has a true moment of illumination, afilu ma'at, it could be small, but if it's real and it's sincere, if in 2018, with everything Jewish people have been through in the last 2,000 years of Galus, you still open a siddur, you still believe in Hashem, you still try to learn Torah, you're trying to fight against a particular Yetzirah, or perfect a particular character trait or flaw, choshuv lefnei Hashem Yisbarach, yoser me'or gadol, bedoros Hashonah. It's more precious, it's more rare, it's that diamond. The diamond's precious because it's rare. So in our times, where there's unprecedented atheism and rejection of God and rejection of religious values, if you try to do anything, Hashem says, that's unbelievable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that's worth more to me, in the currency, the value of that, is worth more than much greater lights in earlier generations. That because of our poor intellect, because of our small minds, because of our inability and all of our struggles and all of our shortcomings. But despite all of that, Ani Ma'amin, we still keep Shabbos, we still keep kosher. At least we try to. We try to daven. We try to learn. Okay, maybe it's not so much. Maybe it's not, you know, maybe we can do more. We could do more. Right? But we can laugh at ourselves and say, compared to earlier generations, what's the point? Simple people in earlier generations knew so much more than me. And maybe that's not true. Maybe that's falling into that trap that Shlomo Melech says, don't look at the earlier doors and say, mehaya, what was it that made the earlier generations better? But Chazal are telling us it was better. There's Yeridus HaDoros. So we can laugh at ourselves, or we can look at ourselves and say, you know what, we're still in the game. That's unbelievable. After everything we've been through, to be able to still come to Shul on Shabbos and to Davin, to be able to call up a friend and say, let's learn something, to come out to a shir on a Thursday night, a lot of other things we could be doing. But we're here, we're learning Torah. We're davening, we're connecting to a Kaddish Baruch. The Rebbe Rashab, a couple of years before his Petira, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, he said something over from one of the earlier Tzaddikim of Lubavitch, which is one of the most mind-boggling things I think I ever saw. You want a word of Chizik? You thought Rav Tzadik was good? Look at this. The Rebbe Rashab in the Sefer Ma'amarim, from the year Tuf Resh Ayin Tes, it's 100 years ago, he said something from one of the earlier Tzaddikim of Lubavitch, which is mind-boggling. Moshe Rabbeinu is the most humble person ever. Va'ish Moshe anav ma'od mikol ha'adam asher al pnei adama. Moshe is the most humble ever. It's a hard thing to understand. Moshe, you're so smart, you're so talented, you're so charismatic, you led the Jewish people, you gave us the Torah, Zichru Torah Moshe, it's called your Torah, Torah Moshe. The Navi calls it Torah Moshe. How do you maintain such a humility? But he is, he's the most humble person ever. How? How did Moshe remain so humble? Say the Tzaddikim of Lubavitch, listen to this. Ki Moshe ra'a sifro shel Adam HaRishon. Writes the Rebbe Rashab in his Ma'amarim, Tafrei Shayin Tes, Moshe Rabbeinu, Chazal tell us, saw the Sefer of Adam HaRishon. The Gemara Menachos, where Moshe got to what? Catch a glimpse of all of world history. He saw Rabbi Akiva teaching Torah, and he saw the Romans, Yimach Shemam, ripping off Rabbi Akiva's flesh and dying on Kiddush Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu looks deep into the future, you know what Moshe Rabbeinu sees? He sees us. He sees us sitting here right now. Some of us sports fans, some of us, you know, keeping up with shows on Netflix, some of us attached to all sorts of secular culture and all sorts of things, right, which are not really Jewish. Some of us dressing in styles that aren't Jewish. Some of us reading books that aren't Jewish. Some of us doing all sorts of things that aren't Jewish. And Moshe looks down, again, understanding this concept of Yerida Sadoros, and he looks at us, the Ikvus of the Mashiach, the last generation, and we're, so to speak, the bottom of the food chain. We're the lowest of the low. By default, we're the lowest of the low. And yet Moshe looks at us and he says, but you guys are still learning. And you're still doing mitzvos. I used to believe in Hashem. That's unbelievable. Moshe Rabbeinu says, how is it possible in 2018, how is it possible you still believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How is that possible? The way the world is going, how are you still learning? How are you still davening? Why are you at a shir on Thursday night? Moshe Rabbeinu can't wrap his head around it. And you know what Moshe feels when he looks at us? He feels humbled by us. Moshe Rabbeinu looks at us and he feels humbled by us. Moshe Rabbeinu looks, v'rash yador be'ikvos Mashicha. Moshe Rabbeinu sees the ikvos of the Mashicha, shelo yabahem asag elokis. We don't know the first thing about God. We don't have a deep understanding of God. And yet we're still here, we're still learning Torah, we're still trying to be Jews. And Moshe looks at that, and Moshe is humbled. Va'ish Moshe, anav me'od mikol ha'adam. He looks at all of mankind, us. And he says that I feel humbled from all people, al p'nei ha'adamah, those of us who have our p'nei ha'adam, our face in the ground. We're so immersed in the earthliness and the gashmias. But we're also still coming to shul. We're also still trying to learn Torah. And we're still believing in HaKadosh Baruch. I once heard from a Rav an unbelievable remez. He said, the gematria of the words, Mikol ha'adam asher al p'nei ha'adam, is exactly gematria ikfas of the Mashiach, 936. That's who Moshe was impressed by. That's who Moshe was humbled by. Mikol ha'adam. Asher al pnei adam. Moshe looked at us, the ikvas of the Mashiach, the footsteps of Mashiach, as our generation is called, the last generation before Mashiach comes. And Moshe Rabbeinu feels humbled by us. Moshe Rabbeinu is embarrassed. I would never be able. Moshe said, I wouldn't have that emunah. I wouldn't have that strength. I wouldn't find a way to keep going. It's getting late. I want to make sure people get the marav on time. So I'll just wrap up. I have to skip over the Chassam Sofer for now. The Chassam Sofer talks about Gershon and Kahas and Merari representing three types of Jews. Kahas is when the Jewish people are gathered into Eretz Yisrael and learning Torah. Right? Gershon is when the Jewish people are dispersed, not in their homeland, but not necessarily abused. Merari is when we're living in a time of Meriris, Vayamaru es Chayehem, which is what the Torah says about the way the Egyptians treated us in Mitzrayim. They hated us, they were repulsed by us. The anti-Semitism of the Egyptians was such that Vayamaru es Chayehem, they hated us. Interesting, Vayamaru es Chayehem is also Gematria, Ikvas of the Mashiach. We're living in times of people can be very down, very depressed, and very bitter times. But you could also look at it as, well, this is the greatest time to ever be alive. This is the most awesome generation, the most awesome opportunities that amidst all of the challenges, to be able to still choose a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a tremendously courageous act. And Hashem says, there's nothing that gives me more nachas. The little bit of light that you shine in the world today is much greater than the big light from the earlier generations. On the surface, you might be a little bit crusty, but on the inside, that the Kudosh Shel Lev is pure. Is more pure than ever. Is more pure than ever. And Moshe Rabbeinu looks at us and feels humbled by us. Let's just learn the last two sources inside together. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, so when is Mashiach actually going to come? Are we going to be the best generation? Are we going to be the worst generation? We come full circle. We're back to where we started, the first of the Ma'ariv Makomos. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Where are we holding? Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein ben David ba el bedor shekulo zakai o kulo chayiv. Mashiach is going to come either in a generation that's kulo zakai, entirely perfect, The Gemara brings us proof va'amich kulam tzadikim. That's one track. The other possibility is kulo chayev. We're going to be so guilty that out of desperation Hashem is going to bring the geula. Right? Two very polarized tracks. The best of the best. We're all going to do tshuva. We're all going to come back. We're all going to be tzadikim. Or what? Or we're all going to be guilty of our averos, of our crimes. In a certain sense, with the downward pull of Yirida Sadoros, we might as well just become Rasham and get this over with, right? I mean, the Va'amech Kulam Tzadikim track seems a little bit out of reach. Rav Kook, with his magnificent eyes and his perspective of things, and the final source, wrote a very famous essay called Maimer Hador, The Generation. And Rav Kook was trying to understand, in dealing with certain Jews, who on the one hand were not necessarily Shomer Torah Mitzvos, and on the other hand had such a deep connection and love, but omek in their hearts, in a way that many people didn't understand why Rav Kook liked these Jews, Bechlal. The Mechalei Shabbos, Ochlin, Avelos, Utrefos, they don't keep Taras Meshpacha. What do you see in them, Rav Kook? And Rav Kook penned this magnificent essay called Maimer Hador, where Rav Kook says, we have to be hopeful. We have to believe in these Jews. There's a tremendous light that's coming from these Jews. And Rav Kook said about our generation, like quote in the final source where it's bolted, Doreinu hu dor nifla. Our generation is a wondrous generation. Dor shekulo timon. A confusing generation. We're a conflicted generation. It's true. We're a strange bunch. But we're a wondrous people. We're a wondrous generation. In all of history, it's hard to find something comparable to this. We're made up of such opposites. Sometimes we're such good Jews, and sometimes we do such low things. And it's the same person. It's all of us. Hafachim shonim, complete opposites. Choshech v'or mishtamshim b'arbuvya. Light and darkness, side by side. As Charles Dickens said, right? It was a time of great light and it was a time of great darkness. A time of great hope and a time of total despair. Says Rav Kook, on the one hand, it's choshech v'or mishtamshim b'arbuvya, light and dark, all interwoven. Hu shafel v'yarud. We're lowly, we're downtrodden, but gam ram v'nisa. We're also elevated and uplifted. And then Rav Kook did an amazing thing. Only Rav Kook could do such a thing. He took the line of the Gemara that said, we're either going to be a generation that's entirely innocent or entirely guilty. And Rav Kook said, and either you get it or you don't when you read Rav Kook, Hu kulo chayav gam kulo zakai. Rav Kook said we're both. We're entirely guilty and we're entirely innocent. On the outside, we don't hold a candle to the earlier generations. But on the inside, like Rav Simcha Bunu of Preshischa told us, there's something beautiful that's being refined under the heat and the pressure of the times in which we live. A beautiful diamond of Geula is going to emerge. And Rav Kook says it's up to us to understand the nature of the generation and to help to move us towards the Geula. So in answer to our question, are we moving farther and farther away from our Sinai? Or are we moving closer and closer and closer to Geula? The answer is a little bit of both. But Amir Tzashem, if we can believe in that Nekuda Shebelev, if we can understand we're a door that's Kulo Chayev and Kulo Zakai, in some very deep and mysterious way, if we can take chizik from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu says, I couldn't have lasted, but you amazing Jews are still here, and still learning Torah, and still striving for something. And Amir Tzashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should accept that as a tefillah. And Amir Tzashem will be able to uncover that diamond inside of each and every one of us to bring the geula b'mehera b'yameinu. Have an amazing Shabbos. Thank you for coming. Ma'ariv might be next door, so if you want to catch Ma'ariv, go for it.